I'm Tanner with the Office of Sustainability at the College of Charleston. This podcast is the second in a series on social sustainability. Today, we're going to talk about asexuality. I wanted to start out with a disclaimer. So first, I personally do not identify as asexual, so I cannot speak on behalf of people who are. Instead, I leave it up to four different people who have experience in the asexual community to share their knowledge and experiences. Second, while the experiences of the people I've interviewed are important and valid, they cannot speak on behalf of everyone within the asexual community. The first person I interviewed is Laura Sergel. Laura is a recent graduate from the College of Charleston. She was a communication major and did her bachelor's essay on asexuality and online community. Here she defines asexuality and what it means to her.
So asexuality is a sexual orientation, just like heterosexual means different gender, homosexual means same gender, asexual means no genders. To identify as asexual means that, to me, it means that you've found that label and find it useful to helping explain to yourself and to others, like, how you experience yourself and the world and other people. It's not just strictly like you experience no sexual attraction whatsoever. That is how it is for me, but for a lot of people, it's like there's a spectrum. So you could fall anywhere between totally asexual and totally sexual or allosexual, and that could be bi, straight, gay, pan, whatever. And you could also be any of those things anywhere along the asexuality spectrum. So if you're demi-bisexual, then you would be able to, like, there's a potential for you to experience sexual attraction towards any gender, but it rarely happens, and it would only happen maybe if you already had an existing relationship with that person.
Next, Maz and Stanley give their personal definitions and experiences. Maz Little is currently attending College of Charleston as a senior majoring in computer science and minoring in political science.
To me, it's when a person doesn't experience sexual attraction to other people, and that is on a spectrum from like sexual to asexual, and you may fall somewhere on the spectrum between maybe your grace, where you experience some sexual attraction, or your demisexual, where you experience sexual attraction after being in a romantic or close relationship with someone. But ultimately, it's identifying as being somewhere on that spectrum.
Stanley McAfee is a senior double majoring in physics and astrophysics with a minor in math at the College of Charleston.
You know, a lot of people, I feel like, think asexuality is like abstinence. But I don't think that's true. Like, I mean, there are asexual people who have sex, but it's, like, yeah, it's the absence of sexual attraction.
Next, Emily Coleman gives her definition, and she is a senior at the College of Charleston studying computer science.
Asexuality is the spectrum of people who experience no sexual attraction. This could be everything from someone who just doesn't experience sexual thoughts at all, or all the way to someone who does, but doesn't have any desire to carry those out. So anywhere in between, there's all kinds of people in the middle and a lot of gray areas on either side of that.
After asexuality was defined, I wanted to ask about the types of issues faced by people within the asexual community.
What are some issues that you think are faced by the asexual community?
Visibility is definitely the biggest one, I would say. Like I said, to be able to identify as asexual, you have to, you know, have access to that linguistic resource. You need to know that it exists. And a lot of the times there's just no representation of asexuality in the media or in your real life community networks a lot of the times.
Asexuality, the term has been around since at least the 1980s. I was doing research on Asexual Visibility Network. It's at asexuality.org to just get some like formal definitions. And research shows they've been in medical papers since at least the 1980s, but a lot of people aren't aware of what asexuality is. And so that's a problem in communities because people may be confused or be unaware that they're asexual their whole lives and just think there's something wrong with them because they've never heard the term. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it's also there's nothing in the back of your head that says, hey, by the way, you don't like sex. Or you kind of have to figure out whether or not that fits you, and it may take a very long time. Even if you've heard the term asexuality, something may click years after you've heard the term, and you're like, oh, that's why all of X happened in my life.
I guess, like, primarily is kind of like erasure. I guess that's kind of a problem with, like, a lot of, like, minority identities. Just people, like, either don't believe that asexual people are actually asexual, that, like, they're just, like, waiting for the right one, or they can be fixed in some way.
Yeah, in my daily life, one fun thing is trying to convince people that you are really, no, definitely asexual. And that ties in, to accepting yourself, and then you have to convince other people.
So how do you feel about asexuality and representation in, like, the LGBTQIA plus community?
On Tumblr, there were debates, not really debates, just vicious arguments between the broader LGBTQ plus communities and between the asexual communities, talking about whether or not asexuality counts and whether asexual people are allowed to call themselves queer, and whether people who might be heteroromantic asexual are allowed to call themselves queer.
There are people who insist that people who are asexual are not a part of the LGBT community because, like, they're just straight people who don't like sex or something, and they'll say, like, well, if you're, like, biromantic or if you're trans, you're allowed to be in the LGBT community. Exclusion, I guess, to simplify that, is a problem I see.
I suppose, like, there's a lot of, because, you know, it's Pride Month, so there's a lot of, like, discourse going on about, like, you know, different entities and stuff, and, like, the kind of, like, the whole, like, alphabet soup of, like, LGBTQIA plus, you know, and I think a lot, especially since a lot of people, I try to erase asexual identities or, like, don't believe they exist or whatever, try to replace the A with ally, or try to do something that, like, just kind of negates the existence of asexual people, or just, like, don't want to, like, hear their voices, or just don't think that they belong in that community.
So not only do asexual people experience erasure within mainstream cultures, but within LGBT or queer communities as well. Because relationships are a big deal in our culture and are often portrayed as being centered around sexual intimacy, I wanted to talk about different types of relationships that often go unnoticed.
So what would you say to people that think that you can't have, like, a relationship if you're asexual, or it wouldn't work?
I mean, it's silly to think of that because, like, the vast majority of our relationships are not sexual or romantic. If you really started to think about it, I'm sure that, like, anyone would have a friend who is, like, that relationship with that one friend is really, really important. Like, you care about them, and you would do a lot to make sure that they're healthy and happy, and that relationship is maintained, and that they would do the same for you. And to assume that level of significance and emotional intimacy can only be associated with sexual intimacy as well, it's just, it doesn't really make sense when you start to think about it.
I'm polyamorous as well as being a biromantic and asexual, and that's, I guess some people are initially a little weirded out by that, because it's like you date multiple people, but you don't, like, engage in intercourse with any of them, and that kind of depends, but the valuable part of a relationship to me is the relationship portion of it, the bit where you relate to a person and you get along with a person and you spend time with them and get to know them. And, like, getting to know someone and falling in love with someone is just really valuable and important to my life. And polyamory can just be, like, falling in love with someone new can enhance all of your relationships. And I wouldn't go so far as to say, I would never say that asexual relationships are better than sexual relationships, because that's just, like, categorically false, but it is, I do really like being able to get to know and love a lot of people, whether or not I am engaging in sex with them, and maybe we have a romantic relationship, maybe we have a casual relationship. I've had a lot of different relationship experiences because of the smorgasbord that is my collection of identities. And it's just really valuable to me.
Yeah, like I feel like the asexuality is like kind of, it's like hard to like work a relationship around, especially, you know, in college when a lot of people are, you know, like it's very like sex focused, very sex driven. People use a lot of like apps, not just, you know, for dating purposes, but like exclusively to have casual sex. And it's very difficult to like find someone who's both okay with like you being asexual and also like engage, like, you know, kind of like go jump into the dating pool or whatever as like being asexual. Because like it feels to me a lot of the time being asexual is like a lot of people are playing a game that you're just not part of. Like it's just like all these kind of like there's all this like subtext that's going on that like everyone's like, you know, it's very like sex driven, but it's just not you're not like I'm not part of it. So it's like kind of hard to like again to like engage with it.
How like what kinds of relationships do asexual people or can asexual people have?
They can have everything from, for example, I have a girlfriend and it's a normal romantic relationship, but I'm asexual, so it's just not as intimate as other people's relationships are. Everything, people can have relationships like that just don't involve sex, or if one partner is very sex positive, asexual people can choose to have sex, or vice versa, that partner that's very sex positive can choose to not have sex for their asexual partner. There's also queer platonic relationships, which are not explicitly romantic, but they are they're described by people who are in them as much more deep and much more committed than normal friendships.
With any identity, visibility is important to help eradicate discrimination. It's also important to talk about identity so people can discover themselves and articulate how they feel. When thinking about sustainability, we have to think about people. Who is power? Who is erased? And how to create a sustainable community that includes everyone. With that in mind, I wanted to end with a few really great statements that were made about accepting yourself and never feeling like it's too late to discover who you are.
I'm also a trans man, and I have been transitioning over the past year and a half or so, and it's been a bit of a wild experience. Both, I kind of figured out that I was asexual around the time they figured out I was trans. Allow yourself to change if need be. I mean, I first identified as bisexual, then pansexual, then demisexual, then gray ace, and meanwhile identify as like gender fluid, and then well cisgender first, then gender fluid, then as a binary trans man, and now as a like non-binary trans masculine guy. Like it'll change whether it just means that you found something new or someone's come up with a new word. Also, you are never too old for your identities to change. I know people who have figured out that like at age 60, they were actually a woman. It's not just teenagers figuring this out. It's not just a Tumblr thing or an internet thing.
Never too young either. Like, you know, like there are plenty of people that are like asexual who are also virgins and just know like they're asexual. Like they don't need to have sex to know that they're asexual. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, if there are people who are asexual who aren't virgins, so like have had sex many times and then, you know, realize that they're asexual. Like it's, you know, you are who you are. You don't have to wait for any, like, you know, you're always like asexual enough, you know, gay enough or transgender enough. Like you are enough, like as you are. And like, if you identify with that, then like that's who you are. And you don't have to, you know, play to other people's expectations. Just live by your own rules and be yourself.
All right, thanks so much for listening. This podcast is a part of a series on social sustainability. For more, you can go to synergies.cfc.edu.